I've got a friend that's only a person that's on a high level. So you have to say that Gemara is referring to a person that's on a high level, not just a regular person.
But
all the examples of the Gemara are people on high levels. Right. In other words, the Rambam says that the Ashkava Prati is in its totality only applies to people who are on a very high level. In other words, the higher he is, the more he is under the Ashkava.
Why is that?
Direct proportion.
Why is that?
Because man relates to God through his intellect. So the higher he is, the greater intellect he is, right? So the closer, then the more the relationship exists between God is.
I understand God wants benefit
all
people equally,
he
wants benefit
somewhere else. I'm not going to explain that. That's what he said. So therefore, according to him, he must say, speaking about a person on a high level. It's not a matter of God wanting to
benefit
all people.
What, the intellect?
Yeah.
That was a guy's more knowledge about the world, so then, honestly, how does that make it so he gets more stuff from God?
I'm not going to look.
Okay.
That's right. And he's under the Ashgacha Polius. And so far as he's under Ashgacha Polius, so suddenly he fashions myself anyways. And he shows him a little lower. He should raise himself to a higher level, either way.
Something happens to the guy, so something bad, maybe...
Something bothers
him. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's...
That's just the way he turned out. What?
Tzadikim are under hashgacha.
Tzadik.
We're not talking about a tzadik here. The tzadik is under hashgacha. We're talking about two guys who aren't.
I understand. So the element of being in Russia, the element of when a person is in Russia, it means that he denies reality.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Since far as he's against reality, so therefore he has to come to bad results.
Correct. Yeah.
So therefore that's the honest, natural one. Aside from not denying. I'm not denying that there is also a specific Ashgacha in terms of how because of the fact that the rush affects others. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
But aside from that...
No, the guy himself? Yeah.
So the guy himself, since he's a Russia, that itself will cause him to cause his own destruction. In other words, the way of the Russia naturally results in his own destruction. You follow me? The way of the Russia itself will naturally result in it.
And what a guy is not a Russia, but he's just not a tzaddik?
Well, insofar as he's imperfect.
Yeah.
So that's how much harm he will do something. In other words, the harm, the imperfection will naturally result in the harm. And insofar as he's imperfect, that's how much harm he will come to.
What is the harm that
we're
seeing?
What?
What is the harm?
Well, it's not ironic. I can't describe on the world.
So then he could go on, then he exists in all of God. But if he doesn't enjoy Chachma, as far as he doesn't, so he has no place there. You see? Right? Question is, what levels exist there? That's another question. What levels, what's the basic level necessary in order to have a pot in all of God? But at any rate, the point remains, according to the Raman Shita, that it's just a matter of a natural result as to how much he enjoys Chachma. Insofar as he enjoys Chachma, that's how much he keeps on going in all of God. And as far as he doesn't enjoy Chachma, so that's how much he loses that. You see? According to other shittas, they hold that there is something as Gehenna, so Gehenna would be a means of perfecting him after death.
Perfecting so he will just have intellect, right?
Right.
What if the guy has no capacity for intellect? Like,
no, then he has no place.
What?
Then he has no place. No place.
So then, why did Hashem create him?
Why did Hashem create him?
If a guy is not capable of intellect.
Is your question then, Is your question then, why did God create a rock or an ox? Is this question like that?
A retired person.
No,
a person who has no capacity to improve. No capacity to improve.
Right. So you ask questions, so why did God create an ox?
Uh-huh.
Right. So you must say he has
a
question. For some purpose. But.
Insofar as, in other words, you can't ask a question. That's like always. We went through that a few times. See, things you can't ask a question like that. It's an illegitimate question. You can't say it's not fair. Why did God create him with more intelligence than me? You see, you can't ask a question like that because there is nothing unfair about God creating different types of creatures. In other words, God can create a rock. He can create an ox. He can create a bird. I mean, you're gonna tell me how come God creates a chimpanzee that's more intelligent than an ox, right? Yeah, this is each creature. God has the right to create the type of creature that he wants. Right? You see? So therefore, he can create an intelligent man, he can create a foolish man.
That's not the basis of the question, though. The basis of their question is within the same species.
That's only an imagination. The fact that it's within the same species does not justify the question anymore. In other words, you can't say, why did God create an ox that's stronger and an ox that's weaker? It's not fair. Because that's the way he created the species. That one should be this way, that one should be that way. And just because it's within the species does not legitimize the question anymore. What it does is, for the imagination, it gives the question more potency. You see?
Yeah.
Because the point is, when people look at other people, that's what is the Yisatar to the La Sachmo, the Beis Reach, Reishas Reach, Abda, Shara, Hamora, you know? What kind of Hashar? Why? So it shouldn't be envious. Yeah. Shouldn't be envious. What does it mean shouldn't be envious? I mean, what kind of envious? First of all, how is it possible control in you? Impossible control in
you. It is possible. You have self-control. Some people don't have self-control.
So the thing is, how is it possible to have such command? In other words, you have a command in the mice, the person shouldn't have. It's there. It operates. So the answer is, and also why? Why not? What's such a terrible thing? It's us to do this. The answer is because it's the denial of reality. Okay? The person imagines that everybody should be the same. It's an imagination. You assume everybody has to be exactly the same. Therefore, he has more. It's not fair. The person doesn't realize that in terms of the ultimate reality, each individual is a separate existence. So what is his existence? What is his reality after his mind? There's their name. See, the imagination assumes that they should be the same because they look similar. So therefore, they should be exactly the same. But that's ridiculous. Logically, it's ridiculous. Because the person imagines himself and says, hey, I could have had an arm. You see? Why does he think he could have had an arm? Because he sees everybody else has, right?
You can't.
But
I don't think that's what it is.
No, I think he can't.
That's not what it is.
Imagination. No, the person imagined that this could have been this way, and therefore it feels bad. But the true Chacham doesn't think that.
That's why it might feel good.
Because the true Chacham knows that the way reality is, this is the way it had to happen.
By
so
you.
Just, what?
By you. Right.
So therefore, all we're saying is one idea. That's one thing. In other words, let's say according to reality, that person had to lose his arm. An event took place and he had to lose his arm. Is it true that reality, forget about Ashraf. Let's say according to reality, the way the guy lived, this had to happen, right? Reality is a certain amount of circumstances, right? So therefore, when one circumstance plays in the other, so this might happen, therefore somebody falls down from a tree and bingo, the guy lost his arm, right? So reality dictates, if you understood all the facts of reality, you understand why this guy happened to lose his arm in 1965 at 12 o'clock on April 14th, right? Okay? So reality dictates that this should be the case, right? Now what's the difference between this reality and between the reality that everybody only has one arm? There's no difference. You understand what I mean? It's just in the imagination. Because everybody has an arm, so you imagine that I could have had an arm. But reality dictates no, that you couldn't have. You follow?
It's impossible.
You see? It's impossible. It's just as impossible. So that's why it's a mistake of the mind. It's a trick of the mind that causes the person to feel bad. What causes him to feel bad is the comparison that he makes. Not to... You understand? If nobody had arms, he wouldn't make the comparison, right? So So therefore you'd say, oh, great, nothing wrong.
Could be all the things they can't do anymore.
That's why I said it's not a commercial. But definitely, we'll get back to that. But I don't mean that one. Forget about that one. Just using it as an illustration. So therefore, the point involved is the reason why most people think things are evil, many things are evil, is just because of imagination, just an imaginary judgment, you see? Because somebody else has something, so they assume I could have had it too. That's an assumption. And therefore they feel good, they feel they're missing out. But if they really knew reality, they'd never feel this pain. Why wouldn't they feel this pain? Because they know that according to reality, this is the way. I can't have that according to reality. So it's ridiculous. See, a person doesn't walk around thinking himself, well, I feel terrible, I can't fly. Yeah? A person doesn't do that. Why? Because he says that that is a realm of possibility. He only feels terrible about things that are in the realm of possibility. Now, what does he consider in the realm of possibility?
No, he tries to fly. He tried to fly in the past, according to
the story. Oh, because they put it in the realm of possibility.
Great, isn't it? So therefore, we say that what happens like this. The moment a person, that's what Sakhma, what does Sakhma mean? You see somebody else has something more than you have, so therefore immediately it brings these things into the realm of possibility, so therefore you get envious. But a person with a Chacham knows it's not true. Why? Because he knows that just because this guy has it doesn't mean it's in the realm of my possibility. You see? It's not in the realm of your particular possibility. So therefore, it's an absurd comparison. You understand?
It's just going
to
happen.
I think it's worthwhile for some of
them.
It's a very important one. Very important one philosophically. You see?
So what's the proof that it comes
around? In other words, the reason why people feel bad is one thing. See, Yad doesn't think one thing. What is really the life of a Chacham? The ultimate life of the Chacham is a total submission to reality. Not that a person... A person tries to project... The Russia works in the opposite direction of the Chacham. The Chacham works like this. The Chacham views reality with his mind, and then he conditions himself, he works on himself so that he should be aligned with reality. The Russia works in the opposite direction. The Russia takes all the wishes that he has, and he tries to change reality to conform to his desires. You see? So therefore, we say like this, the mitzvah of the Torah, the whole idea of the Torah is to live the perfect life, which means that the person should live the life of reality, and he should condition his inner self to the reality that God presented, because this reality is based on wisdom, and this is the best reality. And the whole Bechira, the whole life, is a process of conditioning, the more of conditioning the self, the inner reality, to the outer reality, making the inner reality parallel to the outer reality. That's what perfection
is. Yeah, except all the accidents of the reality.
Right. That's what perfection is. And that's why it leads to the ultimate happiness. Why? Because happiness is when the person's inner self is in line with the ultimate reality. Therefore, there's no conflict. So everything is... He experiences total happiness. But if, on the other hand, he attempts to change the external world in order to fit in his inner reality, which is an impossible goal, so naturally he's going to have to come to grief. Through recognition of God, which is an ultimate reality, because God is the only real thing. So therefore, he knows his position in the universe. And knowing his position in the universe, so that's Anivas. That's the Yiras Hashem, that's Avos Hashem. Means recognizing his position in terms of the whole framework of the universe. That's why we say the more a person has knowledge of God, the more of an Anivas.
Ready?
I don't know.
If anybody got a point that everybody's in the own reality, that's what I'm saying. What's the point that everybody's in the own reality?
So the point is this. When we say it again, the question was Los Angeles, right? Why can't you answer that question? The reason is Because it's a nonsensical question. Why is it nonsensical? Because what does it mean when you ask the question, say, why this table? Why is it here? Right? It means to say it could be here, it could not be here, right? So why is it here? In other words, in order to be here, it must have a cause. So you're asking, what is the cause of the table being here? Because the existence of the table necessarily depends upon a cause, right?
Right, okay.
But God's existence does not depend upon a cause. You see, his nature, his essence is that it is context of existence. In other words, he must exist. There's two types of existence. There's existence that is not an essential part of the table, because you can have a table. In other words, the table doesn't have to exist. You can have the idea of the table without it existing. Right? So the table does not have to exist. In order to exist, you must have somebody come and put it into the wall, right? So the existence of the table means a cause. But God's existence is necessary. That means he must exist. You can't ask the question, who caused God? Why can't you ask the question, who caused God? Because his nature demands that he exists. Existence is part of his nature. You understand what I mean? I mean, there will be a good muscle expander. You'll say,
he leads himself being a part of the act. He's a nice reality.
Somebody must have left water on the table, right? Would you ask the question, why is the water wet? Would you ask the question, why is the water wet?
I'll tell you, might be happy.
Would you ask the question, why the water is wet? Because the answer is because water by nature is wet.
The question, when you ask
why the table wet, the question is a legitimate one. Why? Because the table does not mean... Not by fresh water. The question is, who put the water on the table? Someone must have come by. Maybe he came by and splashed water on the table, but someone must have come by and splashed water on the table.
So you don't
know this, you know, this question. What is the cause to be wet? This is the question. You say, who made the table wet? But it would be a stupid question to ask, why is the water wet? Because that's part of the nature of water that's wet. You see? You follow me?
Yeah, but this is saying...
And the question is, why does God exist? What caused God's existence? The question, what caused the table to exist, is a legitimate one. Why? It's just like asking, why does the table work? What caused the table? In order to exist, I have a course. I'm going to be just like by saying by water, we say it's nature that it's what? You must come back to something which is nature's existence. That thing is God. Okay? That thing we define as God. So therefore we say that it's a crazy question to ask who caused God. Because that's the definition of God is something that's not good, something that's existence is part of its essence. Okay? Yeah. It's an important point, it's a very important point.
That's right.
The soul is caused also. It's true that the soul exists in a different realm than the body. The soul exists in a different realm than the body. The body is subject to destruction and the soul isn't. But, still the existence of the soul is still our soul, is not inherently, existence is still subordinated to it. Otherwise, God would not have to
give it. Can you say, what's the
inherent
to it? No, because it always exists. It exists eternally.
I know. Here's the thing. When we say the soul was caused by God, right? So that means that its nature is not existence, otherwise it would not be caused by God, right? But we say like this. The physical was caused by God too. But there's one difference, that the physical is subject to disintegration in the soul. Right? But that doesn't mean that the soul has, that doesn't mean the soul, in terms of being a cause of existence, is no different than the table. The only thing is that the type of thing that it is not subject to the disintegration of the table.
It's a different nature, but it's still created.
That's right.
But once you say it was created, doesn't that mean that at one time it wasn't created? It wasn't,
right,
didn't
exist?
Course.
Right.
Oh, but then we said there is no time in the non-physical? And therefore, if it existed, it always existed?
That's true. That's why I can't really use the word time in the same sense. When we say time, there's two different meanings. When we say time, that's two different meanings. You can't use the word time in the same sense. You have to know what that other time is. But time, in other words, time like we have on a clock, you can't use that in terms of... in terms of these things, because there was no time then. Time itself is dependent upon matter. That's the way.
isn't it true that when we say physical things...
Just meaning the time altogether.
No such thing as time.
Say physical things...
deteriorated, right? Destroyed. There is before and after, though. It won't happen. Yes, of course. Of course, I have to proceed.
Does that mean by cause?
Prior. Prior does not necessarily mean prior in time.
When you say physical things destroy this, but isn't very all physical things have energy, right? So this energy really is destroyed.
Right.
So it's not really the physical matter that's not really destroyed. The essence of the manner that makes the whole thing is not really destroyed.
The energy isn't destroyed, the energy is dispersed. But the thing that existed is destroyed because of the dispersion of the energy.
Okay, but you really have to look at the physical things, but really not the physical world is really never destroyed. Because you always have the matter.
I understand what you're saying, the conservation of energy.
Right.
But the objects that were formed by the energy being in a certain position is destroyed at the time.
Okay, so but
you can't prove either way, right?
We
don't believe a lot.
He says karma's only enough is not a fact.
I have something else, Karma. But what about the not karma's element, but what about
the Yesh Miayin?
The end. The universe always be. So there are certain interactions that indicate the world will always continue. Whether the universe will always continue or whether it will be destroyed. Conservation of energy. In other words,
only
these
little major changes.
The
nature we have
is going to
change.
There's no
reason
to
assume
what?
The
universe will be destroyed.
There will be. There is reason to assume, though.
Entropy.
Entropy, because, that's our whole proof of God. Or because of the other one, the second law of thermodynamics.
Will that be a limit?
Oh, it won't be one balance. Don't you have a limited amount of energy? So the energy will completely disperse. It'll be
disperse.
Yeah, but but there won't be any life.
Life
will be finished.
You can't locate energy. Can't the energy see an hour later? Means that, let's say, according to the laws, and we went through the Bechiba on the dimension, that according to the laws of nature, it comes out that when the universe was set up, it's set up like a tremendous clock, right? And therefore, once you have all the factors in there, just like a person on a clock knows exactly what it's going to take, right? So therefore, once you have all the factors there, you know exactly what's going to happen, right? Except for one exception, that's the human will. Besides the human will, everything's in there, right? Let's forget about the human will.
Human will is
not caused. It's only caused by itself. Not caused by this animal. But let's assume for a moment that the human will was caused. Okay, let's assume that for a moment, just for illustration. So therefore, we come out that the moment the universe is put together, everything already, all the factors are given, and now it's just a matter of just waiting until everything happens. But in reality, if we had enough knowledge, we'd know exactly what's going to happen at any specific time in the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or in the past.
Yeah,
not by observing, right, but by knowing through knowledge, right? Because you have every single factor.
There's
another thing is chance. When you throw the dice, the reason why it's changed is because you don't know exactly what's happening. But if you really knew every movement that those dice made in your hand, and every muscle in your palm, how it moved the dice, you know exactly how it's going to come out.
You know,
right? So the universe has the dice. Except we don't know what's going to happen because we don't know all the facts, but God knows what's going to happen because he knows all the facts. That's what Imam means when it says that God looks at himself and knows what happens, and not that God looks like an observer at the world. People think God's standing there, looks out the window, see what people do. It doesn't mean that. It's not that he looks at you. He knows what's happening because of his knowledge. Right? When he looks at himself, he knows the world.
He looks at existence.
But he doesn't know what the man's going to do.
That's the question. That's the question.
Have an hour.
What's that have to do with
that? Let's for a moment assume that man's will is not free, okay? So therefore, everything's predetermined, right?
Okay.
Now, therefore, if a tragedy occurs to somebody, right? Let's say, for instance, the person is his own, like I said the other day before. So the person feels bad. Why does he feel bad? Because he assumes that he could. The only reason he feels bad is because it could have been better, right? He could have had the arm, right? Okay. Let's say nobody had it, everybody only had one arm, he wouldn't feel bad, right? Okay. Now, since both things are determined by reality, in other words, if everybody only had one arm, it would be determined by reality. Right? And the fact that he lost his arm is determined by reality. So why should he feel that one reality is more easily overcome than the other? You understand what I mean?
No.
Okay, fine. Might it not be convenient that a third arm? I don't know. Let's assume that we can be, right? Or be able to fly. That one, right? Yet we will not. What? Definitely convenient, right?
Great, thanks.
Green on the water.
And now they can catch out of the water that way.
Right.
You have another thumb.
So it's possible that it could have been more convenient to have a third arm. Have wings, I don't know. Let's say it was possible. Would you say, however, that we do not find too many people that are upset or that are grieved by this fact that they don't have a second arm or they don't have wings?
There
right?
Is. That's
a
good idea.
Why don't they worry about it? So in other words, whenever reality dictates that a thing has to be a certain way, so then you're not grieved about it? Right? Okay. Now let's say, for instance, according to reality, a person has to lose his arm. Is that the laws of reality? Forget about any human will. Forget about the human will for a moment, okay? So let's say the person lost his arm because of reality. Is this because of reality? An accident. There's no such thing as an accident.
No. I'm thinking of saying more than the possibility of human will coming to it. Say that with no negligence, but that some event occurs and they lose
their arm. Right. Or let's say that there is human will, but the point is that it wasn't his fault. So therefore, reality dictates that he has to lose his arm, right? Now, why should he feel any different about this reality than about the other reality? You understand what I mean? The same reality.
Yeah, but one reality seems more in your control than the other one.
Now, one reality...
The reality only affects him. He doesn't mind when it affects everyone.
But the person doesn't think with his mind. He thinks with his imagination. See, if nobody had an earth or one arm, you see, then he wouldn't have any imagination because he doesn't see it in front of him. So he wouldn't feel free, you see. But over here, he sees everybody has two arms and he only has one. So this brings into imagination. This brings imagination into play. He's thinking, oh boy, how come I don't have an arm? He says I don't, you see. But realistically, that's not a tiny. Realistically, it's foolish. It's just as foolish for a person to think about that as it would be to think about a third arm.
Why can I fly like a bird?
Why can I fly? Sit down all day and figure out why you can't fly. You see that? Let's say, for instance, here's another example. Let's say, for instance, a person was bald. Right? Terrible thing. Didn't happen here. Still very bad, right? Let's say everybody was bald, nobody had hair, we still did. But that's ridiculous, because according to the laws of genetics, it comes out that this guy has to be bald. Right? So why should the laws of genetics be any inferior than the other laws?
You believe the laws of genetics also?
What?
Misery likes company. What the child has
to that's the trick of reality, huh?
Okay, let's say a person's blind, doesn't have sight. So he really feels bad. Why? Because he can't see. But let's say, for instance, nobody had sight, so there wouldn't be any assumption he'd have that sight, so he wouldn't feel bad. And let's say, for instance, a bat we know has radar, right? Now, wouldn't it be also convenient for a person to have radar too besides sight? Definitely would be something additional. So the reason why it bothers me is his imagination. If he imagines reality, what causes him?
No, reality.
They're not really inherently evil. They're only evil because they make this act of comparison and then they come to the conclusion that it's evil. But if they wouldn't make that act of comparison, which is absurd, then they wouldn't think it's evil. Why do you think most people are unhappy? Because their ambition is outside of the reality. The crazy thing about the yeshivas, they think, everybody's supposed to learn to be a goat. Everybody's supposed to learn to be a goat. So they all start off nicely. Everybody's becoming a goat. Then the guy becomes 18 years old, 19 years old, 20 years old, she's not going to become a goat. Goes to Gemara, it's the end of the learning. Ridiculous. A person should learn because we so far, let's say he was the only man in the world. So nobody else in the world. But Torah is good then, right? That's why he should learn as far as his ability to.
What about the monster?
As far as his ability to improve his life. That's why he should learn. What? Not to be a god, to be bigger than the other guys.
What about the two mistresses?
People because of comparison to whatever you want, right? That's right. Take an example of something that is comparable to evil.
I can't believe it. Starvation is inherently evil. What else does the guy have?
Right?
To give a little
bit.
And
then it breaks it off. That's fine. So Deu, Ma'abdo, Ma'amaso, Shur, Rachamor, Rachamor, Shur, Rachamor. Broken down two different ways. Over here it says Los Achmor, and it includes under one Los Achmor, Base Re'achor. No, it's broken down in both cases. But over here it's broken down like this. Los Achmor, Base Re'achor. That's one. Then, the house. Is equated with Abda Vachamaro, and in the other case, Beis Re'echo is equated with Abda Vachamaro. Why the break off? In other words, in one case, let's put it this way, simply. In one case, the bias is separated. In the other case, Aishas and Isha are separated.
And they use the same, but they see one place use the Savin, one place they use Why do they use different words? I'd like to know. I mean, I'll feel why.
Well, you have to deal with logical order. First, you have to understand.
All right, well, so we'll take.
Let me answer questions first. When the Gemara says about Rabbi Akiva, it's an ayam. Ayat Yaharim. Yeah, Akiva means that with his genius, he tears up mountains, you know?
Those
mountains represent?
Kasha.
And mountains represents the basic category. See, the greater a person is in thought, the more he deals with the basic category, his main idea.
Simplify.
Yeah, in other words, when he deals with the forest, not with the trees. You have Jacham and the old one thing, why Rashi uses this letter that way. That's the feeling. That's not like the heart.
That's not the tree.
That's dealing with the termite in the tree.
But
the real fun is to see the mountain, to see the whole mountain.
To move the
baby
table.
To try to move
the whole mountain. Ash and
You make a person feel relaxed. Security, I'm sure. The Ash and Daipin means security. Chazal say that Rishayim, the older they get, the less the more insecure they get. Tzadikim, the older they get, the more secure they get. Verse of
reason. Oh, because they see...
much before.
Yeah.
Because the way
the tzaddik
adapts the inner reality to the outer reality. So the older it gets, the more secure it gets. The more secure. But the Russia works the opposite way. He always attempts to change reality in order to the inner reality, right? So when he's young, he has more ability because there's more energy. When he gets older, he gets weaker, so therefore he gets more insecure. Bias and Isha.
Therefore, they're both an extension of himself. They're both an extension of himself.
So you see why these two things are split off, right? Because now the nature is different.
Okay.
But why doesn't it say like this? It should say Lo Sachmos base reality Ashes reality.
And then the other category.
And what?
And then the other category. Simple things, simple
That's not there. On the contrary, the Chiddush is the fact is Abed definitely applies. He said, but by it, it was necessary to show.
You said maybe that have the extra warning by Isha and Bias because it had an added factor of security, you would be more jealous of it. Whereas if you had a better house with pretty wife, something like that.
Right. Why do you think that was the factor?
Would be more,
The security factor is more expressed in Bias than in Isha. The entire factor is more expressed in the Isha than in Bias, even though they're both existing both. Right? So therefore, that's why it's on the Sachmod, is referring to the security factor. Plus, it's other base Re'echa, to show that it's because base Re'echa represents more security than the Taira. Over here, it wasn't necessary to say that, because it's obvious that the type, because over there the type effect is more predominant. That's what I say, why break it down. But why break it down simply? There are two separate factors, you see, two separate types, two separate emotions, two different emotions, and basically that's what the emotions are broken down into in the material world. One is security, and one is fiber, right?
Why do you want physical? No, not security.
There's two different emotions. In the physical world, you break down the two, there's two emotions. One is type and one is security. Simply, it's broken down between the playboy and the businessman.
So
the businessman is not equal to Tyler. Of course, on the contrary, he keeps building an empire, right? And the title doesn't increase. Or, insofar as the title increases, that's not doing an empire. It doesn't mean no empire for that, right?
So where does this thing?
That's the security. That's the security, the physical security. Imagine it, imagine it's our physical security. Right. But the playboy is the one that, on the contrary, he's materialism is broken down into two emotions. One emotion for security, one emotion for title. That's why the Yesteris of Dibris breaks it down into two separate categories. Very beautiful. Breaks down into two categories because these are the two categories that exist. One is the materialism, the title, and that's the second category. The first one is the security. But Isha and Bias can play double roles. You see? They play double roles. There's also Taiva. But one is more predominantly represents one or the other. Bias represents predominantly security, and Isha predominantly represents Taiva. So that's why by Bias is necessary to say Los is Abba. Now you see why I say Los is Abba.
That's why Rashi mentioned that point.
The guy who's coming to defend on the racetrack.
Materialism cannot secure him against any eventuality, right?
Security involved there.
Order security, yeah.
Where's the security? He's going to be in a state of panic, can't you?
Yes,
he's going to be sick. He's going to be in the hospital. But he's in the hospital with security.
Oh, yeah, right. You're less paying, right? You're secure, you're in some money. You're not money. You're not money.
Secure in one area.
So what's he doing? He's in charge of
money. Financially secure.
We're trying to be just in our pay.
Just to be financially secure is an irrational purpose.
Yeah,
an
irrational purpose.
Oh, yeah.
You guys should be wiped out.
There's no financial problem. No financial problems. So for what? You need to pay for his hospital bill.
Well, you pay for his own wife.
The kids to go to school, this and that, whatever it is.
Yes, sir.
So that's his pleasure, send his kids to school.
And me for the wife and kids.
So I won't be spent on him, but, you know, it's still a pleasure.
He really doesn't want to make sure that he can pay his hospital bill. He wants to make sure that the money that goes to pay the hospital bill will not completely drain the...
He doesn't care about paying the hospital bill.
Yeah. As long as that...
Of course. ...to remove pain... So always be able to remove pain, right?
You know,
no, not necessarily.
Yeah.
As much as
it's remaining in the state of happiness.
It remains, right? Even in existence. Insofar as he can ensure his existence. As far as money will help that.
Can't prevent the pain, right? The pain itself you can't prevent.
Yeah.
Right? So therefore, what is security? So security is not prevention. Is no security is not the prevention of pain. Point
of
view. Would you say it is a prevention of pain?
Well, he's preventing the pain of what in one area.
And so, what's the definition of security then?
Prevention of pain.
Prevention of pain.
What
prevention of pain? So in other words, if I'm sick and I go to a doctor and he gives me a pill to prevent the pain, that's security.
Okay, you feel secure in the knowledge.
Is that secure?
You feel secure in the knowledge that you'll never have pain.
No, what's
but the fact that you feel that you can always go to the doctor, right?
Yeah, so according to that, security is nothing
more than... That's why the guy goes to the doctor.
According to that, security is nothing more than anything else, because everything is always the desire for pleasure and prevention of pain, right? So what's security? In other words, we said security is just prevention of pain, right?
Yeah.
Right? Oh, so what a guy has
a feeling
that you can prevent it.
Feeling you can prevent it?
Yeah.
So according to that, if I have a broken foot,
yeah,
and now I'm in pain, right? And I go to the doctor and he gives me a painkiller, so now I have security.
But if you have enough...
Is that good security?
As far as pain is gone, but as far as...
What do you need another term security for? Security is nothing more than anything than every other case. I mean, if I... And you said also to make have pleasure, right? Right? So any action which ensures me pleasure is security. Any action which removes pain is security. And what is there security in everything else?
Well,
the idea that you can continue to,
So there's no security against sex,
security against sex?
What?
Yeah. Well, security isn't to be found only in one area. It can be found in any areas, right? Any area.
Yeah.
Let's say a person buys a car, so he knows that his car will last 3 years, so he has security. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Any area. Any area. So security is defined as what?
Yes.
As the... knowledge.
Maintaining the status
quo. The what?
Maintain the current status quo.
In regards to certain areas. In regards to certain areas.
Putting the odds in your favor.
What?
Putting the odds in your favor.
Your own future. What is it about that? Your own future.
Well, that's a good example.
No.
The guy's general outlook on his situation. I don't know if it's possible that the guy can say, well, here I'm secure and here I'm not secure.
When he's in different situations, he has
this general feeling the guy gets towards this whole situation. And the guy either says, I'm secure or I'm not. I don't know if people say, well, I feel very insecure here and secure here.
Of course they do.
At the same time.
But it's two different areas.
Yeah,
two
areas.
Right.
Not the same area, though.
For example,
different areas.
Right. Well, noted that security, right?
Yeah.
Noted that security.
Yeah.
So, what exactly does that mean?
Well, it's basically security in the area of finances.
But who knows that when he has a certain amount of money, he can control. He has a certain amount of control, right?
It will control his pleasure, right?
Yeah.
So he can find
control.
It will control him.
ability, not to have pain, not to have pleasure.
Yeah, right. Just to have pleasure.
Okay. Radically keep the status, the status he's in now, right?
Right.
So, now he knows that the certain amount of money means a certain amount of control.
Right.
So therefore, if he has accumulated a lot of money,
right.
So therefore he knows tomorrow he'll be able to control. I'll have that control.
Right, we'll do it then. We'll always maintain the pleasure in the future. He's in the status condition. So therefore, what he means is securing the pleasure. Right?
Yeah, but
so why?
Is that control rational? Is that control rational, or is it emotional?
One guy's $1 million, right? So one guy's $50,000 a day. So figure they can control himself with certain amount of things happen.
Excellent.
But if the big disaster, he figures he's finished, right?
Right.
If the guy has $1 million, he figures he's really even backed up against that big disaster.
Okay.
More eventuality.
So
it's a different proportion to one.
Now he's secure to maintain the status quo.
Right, he's going to be there for the rest of his life.
Well, what's your
pleasure?
Yeah, that was
a
good
idea.
What's your
I say
it's
possible. That's as far as any pleasure
you
have.
Future.
Right?
Okay, one second.
To avoid pain,
and insofar as it's not achieving its total pleasure, when you say it's in a state of pain?
Right.
So then, in terms of the future, what is the security? Is the security going to be that he doesn't have that problem, he doesn't have these problems in the future? Or security is going to be that he has the exact same thing as he has now in the future?
No, that he won't have the problems.
What? Is that considered security?
Yes.
That security can only be measured by the
say works all that stuff, security is all age.
Let me ask you a question. If a guy can a guy be in pain and have security at the same time?
Yes.
Okay. So now if you want to say that security means maintaining the same status quo, and we said that security is as far as pleasure and pain is concerned, right? So therefore, it's impossible for the guy in pain to have any security.
Well,
right?
It has to be status quo.
If we should say the definition of security is status quo, we're going to have a problem. We're going to say a person that's in pain can never have security. Why? Because since he's in pain, so he wants to maintain the status quo, right? But we said that security is only insofar as pleasure and pain is concerned, right? Now maintaining the status quo over here means total pain, no pleasure, right? Oh, so therefore, we can't have any security. Right?
Is he in total pain?
If he's in total pain, he's in total
right.
pain. A person being in total pain and have security.
Can't.
No, what is it? If we said security.
Take the pain and have security. That's all I'm not. Let's say a guy is going through hell, building up a business, right? But he knows that this business is going to be fantastic. But right now he's in tremendous pain. He's killing himself. But he knows simultaneously he's definitely going to be successful. He has no doubt about it, right?
Yeah.
Does that mean have security?
Yes.
All right. So therefore we're going to have to maintain that you can't state of pain, right? Oh, but the security you said also requires two things. It's to maintain your status quo and has to be pleasurable too. You want your pain also, right? But that's impossible.
Or
you have to say that the guy that's in a state of pain can never have security, right?
True.
I don't think that's what we mean by security. These guys that work for their old age, right? And look for the great enjoyment of retirement. And security. I mean, I assume that's what so he has a sense of security in regard to that, right? Oh, but that's not security because right now he's killing himself. I don't see why it would appear, but if you look at it, mean by security is, even if a person is in a state of pain, but he got security in regard to the future,
right.
So therefore it's not maintaining the status quo.
Right.
That's what's the definition. Then pleasure and pain insofar as the future is concerned, right?
Right. You feel the
in other words, what?
You feel the ability to control is whether or not pain or pleasure.
Pleasure and pain insofar as the future is concerned, right?
It's a fantasy of eventual pleasure.
What?
It's a fantasy of eventual pleasure.
Of eventual pleasure. What was this question?
It's
reality. Reality. Right?
Reality.
Right?
Why
is fantasy? Is such thing as future is going to come.
What did Bernie say? He also has control over pain and pleasure.
Control. If the person doesn't want, let's say a person doesn't care to have control. So then you're going to say he can't have security?
He cares to have control.
Control in the future. He wants to have control in the future? You're assuming that Kevin controls
the
present.
Let's
say a person knows that he's going to be in a situation in the future where he has no control, but he has all the pleasures he wants.
That's security.
That's security.
What's that's control.
That's what you
control.
Control.
Right.
Control. 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 Control.
The future, right?
Yeah. The security is just pleasure.
That's what he gets.
That's what comes out there. That's comes out there. That has nothing to do with the future.
There's
nothing to do with
why he made
pleasure. Oh, what else is it? Getting
$1 million
or what?
Painful.
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 Yeah.
No question about that.
No question. Ask me. Okay, so what is the definition?
Really?
What's it? Pleasure and pain in the future.
What do you say about that?
Knowledge concerning pleasure and pain in the future.
Except
for the knowledge. No, well, that definition basically is not going to have it, right? Because let's say he has knowledge about what pain in the future.
Right? Knowledge is not pleasure in the future.
Okay. So, right. So therefore, knowledge that will have pleasure in the future is security. Right? Okay, what do you say? They will have pleasure in the future. Okay? Right, so let's go back to the case.
Well, what I'm
saying that the knowledge, I'm talking about the knowledge.
Right, but it's real knowledge, not intention knowledge.
Oh, it's
probability.
Factual knowledge.
Probability. So now more secure means what? Means more probability. Mm-hmm. Less secure means less probability. Yeah. Right? Okay.
Well, let's say God. What does it say? Let's say God.
Thing.
Okay.
Okay. So what happens to the quantitative thing? Quantitive things, right? Now, what is the factor which causes the quantitative? What is the factor which causes the? What is the factor which gives the person security?
The probability of making
of avoiding him.
Right. Probability of explaining completely.
Right. Okay. Now let's see. So when we say a person has security, right? So we mean, don't we, when we say a person has security, don't we simultaneously, aren't we simultaneously saying that his pleasure is lacking, has a defect?
Why is that?
Why? Because apparently it's a pleasure which is capable of removal, right?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Right.
The guy wants security, he wants to
say
it's
not. And if he wants security, he's worried about losing the pleasure.
Correct, right? So therefore, insofar as security is concerned, a pleasure which cannot be lost doesn't require security.
Right?
Well, let's put it this way.
Well, by definition, it comes home with security.
That is security, correct?
Right.
All right, now let's see how security is, and how security works out in terms of Torah, in terms of the physical endurance. All right? Which one is more secure?
Torah.
Why?
Well, I can't take it away.
Because it's far too. Because if somebody would affect your intellect,
right,
you can't not affect the way.
No, they kill you.
Right.
You have no idea they can't take away from you.
And you are taking away from it. Right, correct. Okay, so basically, it would seem quite a simple thing. It's like a short case. That the one who has more security is the one who can maintain his pleasure, right?
Right.
So therefore, he who has a pleasure that is capable of being removed. He has pleasure capable. Insofar as his pleasure can be removed, he has no security, right? So, for instance, when we say a man's secure when he's in the hospital, it really means he only has a slight measure of security. Only insofar as the avoidance of pain of going after money. But insofar as his main essential pleasure is concerned, he has no security at all. Right? Because his main pleasure is dependent upon the physical, right? And in this situation, he has no physical genitals, so his physical genitals taken away. So when we say security over there, we only mean that he has security insofar as a small removal of one pain is concerned, but not insofar as maintaining the pleasure. Correct? But he who has a pleasure which cannot be removed has real security because he has the knowledge that he can always have his pleasure in the future. Right? So therefore, it seems that the one who's in German is the one of knowledge definitely has more security than the one who's in German of physical. Correct? Personal is the health of the person. The essential part of life is health, right? Essential emotion about happiness. Right? And there's no security against that. Correct? Because when he has security, he has financial security. What is financial security? It's just the ability to avoid the pain of having to pay when he doesn't have the money, right? Correct? But insofar, and let me ask you, insofar as the guy's life is concerned, is that the main enjoyment of his life? Is the main enjoyment of the guy's life avoiding the... What is the essential enjoyment of the person's life? Is the essential enjoyment of the person's life the fact that he doesn't have to have any problem paying bills? Or is it the enjoyment itself that is the main... the pleasure itself, which is the main part of his life? Is it the avoidance of the pain of not being able to pay? Or is it the positive pleasure that he has in his life? What is the main part of his happiness?
Positive pleasure.
Hmm?
Positive pleasure.
Might be positive pleasure.
Might be positive pleasure, right? And insofar as the positive pleasure is concerned, he has no security at all. Because this can be removed at any moment. Right?
It sounds like we just put bill payers in a special category. What? All you can do is pay a bill.
Ah, so therefore, the security is only insofar as only insofar as a small part of this pleasure, pain pleasure, is concerned.
Right, let's go again.
So security is the knowledge. What was the
first again? Probability of pleasure.
The probability of pleasure in the future. Right? Now, the more probability he has of maintaining his pleasure, so then the greater security he has, right? Okay. Now, let's say, for instance, a person has X amount of pleasure. So security means to maintain this pleasure, right? Okay. Now, let's take a look at a person's life. The average person who has pleasure in his life, what is the essence of his life? Is the essence of his life nothing more than the avoidance of the pain of not being able to pay bills? Is that the essential enjoyment of his life? Or is there something more to his life than that? And when a person says there's nothing, my enjoyment is life, and it's one thing, I have one enjoyment. The avoidance of the pain of having to pay bills when I dance. The person said that's my life, and this is the greatest life in the world.
That's only means.
What?
I mean the bill playing the paying the bills is only means to get the pleasure.
Right. It's only means to get the pleasure, right? But really, the end is the pleasure itself.
Right.
Now, let's say a person has financial security. So what does it mean? It means that he has security as far as paying the bills are concerned. Right?
The negative aspect.
So it means he only has security as far as the means is concerned, but as far as the end, he has no security at all.
Right.
So in reality, would you say this mean as? Would you say on the whole, this person is secure or insecure?
Reality.
He's secure. Reality is secure.
Probably
he'll be able to pay for bills and he'll be able to get all that pleasure.
Paying bills does nothing to build pleasure.
You're going to pay for it, you'll get it. I'm talking about
security as far as a guy, let's say for instance, an eventuality.
I don't know, of course, if there's eventuality, it'll change his security, but if everything goes the way it is...
Well, let's say the guy's in an accident, he's smashed up,
okay,
right?
Okay, and you don't have security, but I'm saying, but you have to send him up for security.
Well, you're not talking about security in that situation.
No, tell him about security, let's say he wants to retire.
Right.
He'll be able to maintain this certain amount of pleasure. Right?
So you assume that all the other factors are
Right. Of course. Probably he'll have, I'm saying that for sure.
In other words, I guess, insofar as, I was talking about something else. I'm talking about security, financial security against
disaster.
Against disaster.
Of course.
Let's say it's still true.
What?
Let's say he only has financial security, right? And they say he has the ability to buy anything he wants, right?
Right.
That's true. But he's not secure. In other words, now let's take an example. Let's say a guy's not secure. He's secure, he can get on tour, right? And he doesn't know whether they'll be rating for it or whether they'll want him to be rating for it, right? Security really is only that he has the means to get to it. Security is never...
Yeah, but probably he'll get pleasure in Florida. He always saw he was getting pleasure in Florida.
As long as security has the means.
So probably, you're right, he has the means. And
right.
You know that Florida is usually nice, right?
Since I have all this money, I'll probably have pleasure tomorrow. So let's take it that way. So let's say this. That security is the probability of pleasure in the future, right? And what does the probability of pleasure in the future depend upon? Depending upon all the different events which could affect the removal of this pleasure, right? Okay. And isn't it true that in the physical pleasures that there are more events which can... physical things, so there are so many more events that control it?
Surely took care of one event.
One event. But what about insofar as the other events are concerned?
Insofar as that's concerned,
you are insecure, right?
Yeah.
But the person who has an enjoyment which does not require all the physical events?
Then he's more secure.
Because his enjoyment is such, which...
Because it's probability.
So therefore we say the one is more secure, is the one that has knowledge. In other words, the point is like this, that just like all those proofs of knowledge that we gave, insofar as the enjoyment is concerned, now can be duplicated insofar as security is concerned.
Right?
Because all those proofs showed
The reason why you have more pleasure out of knowledge is because of all the outside factors, right? And insofar as the person's control of the future, as far as the person's probability of future pleasure is concerned, right? Isn't it true that all these factors play a role, all these factors?
Definitely.
So therefore we must say that the one who has the physical enjoyment has the least security possible. Because his security is dependent upon 100 factors. Whereas the person whose enjoyment does not depend upon all those factors, so he has the greatest amount of security. So
you're right.
But there is security involved in this.
Yeah, and measure of
security. So what is it? What is it? The guy thinks in the thing or something happens.
No, there are two reasons. One second.
There
are two reasons.
Sure.
When the guy felt
just
secure.
Maybe there's a bit of change.
The probability.
Good.
Lack of knowledge concerning the probability. Right? So first there was knowledge again is in a better situation than a person that doesn't. Why? Because he who has knowledge makes an accurate estimation of his security. So therefore, if something occurs, he's not shattered because he knew the possibility. Whereas a person who doesn't have knowledge quite possibly overlooks the... doesn't have knowledge of his probability. What?
This calculation of carries. Near security.
Why would you say, what would the code be? In the present, he has to project it into the future. In other words, insofar as the libido is not satisfied in the present, so therefore he must project it into the future. Because there's leftover energy.
Yeah, it says that. Then
okay, right. Because he's going to increase his ability
exactly.
To be able to
control it. Right. Now I have, but then. Now, once the, so therefore that causes the overestimation, because he must, the emotion demands that he assumes this measure of probability in the future. The miscalculation comes from one thing. The miscalculation comes from the assumption of pleasure in the future. The assumption of pleasure in the future is necessary in order for him to enjoy the present, because he has too much to do in the present. So therefore, when something happens that removes the future, in other words, there's too much libido now that he can't control, too much psychological energy that he can't gain pleasure out of. So therefore, that amount of energy...
Can't
satisfy all his energy. So therefore, he assumes he's going to have a future.
In
what area?
Yeah,
whatever it is. In other words, he keeps on thinking about how much pleasure he has. By baby security, it does not mean.
You mean generalize
it. It's two things. Yeah. When we say security over there, it means security in the negative. It means without the fear concerning the future. That's the blanket security. Blanket security means that he has no fear concerning the future when he has his blanket. He doesn't have his blanket.
Doesn't mean he necessarily has security.
He doesn't really have security. That's not positive security.
What does he have?
That's not real security. There's simply no fear concerning the future.
But some kind of security.
And what is the current?
Yes. What are the two blinds?
Psychological and also the realistic. Realistic is knowledge concerning, knowledge of probability concerning the future. Psychological
facts,
the absence of concern.
Isn't that
realistic?
Isn't that
realistic?
Yes, facts.
Certain facts. I probably will be able to enjoy this in the future. That's realistic, right? Psychological is that he doesn't have any concern as far as the future is concerned. Right? That's what I mean. That's it. The realistic security becomes a tool for the psychological security. You understand what I mean? Yeah?
Then if you're realistic,
what's realistic?
Psychological security. Yeah. That the person has realistic security in order that he can go into that feeling of the psychological security. You see?
Not always.
What?
Not always.
we know that this is definitely so.
You see what the baby's not so.
The possibility that the, really the desire is for the psychological security, but the realistic security is only a means for that state.
Not even always natural, because by the baby is no real security.
In other words, you can tell like this. If a person really, if a person really feels secure, he's not concerned about the future, so then you know he has a psychological security, right?
But
the person really is concerned about the future. But the only thing is, I've eliminated a certain amount of that. That's all. It's completely rational. Right? So then you say he has real security.
How do you find psychological security? This definition of psychological security is not no concern for anything.
Why?
Because this guy has psychological security and he has concern for the future.
He has concern for the future.
Okay, he's in pain. The guy has full security. He's in pain now. But yet he knows that the future.
But that's saying more full security is psychological security. You know what I'm saying?
It's realistic security?
What?
Full security.
No, but we're not saying it's like, it's not saying it's that psychological security. It's another quote. It could be two quotes. Two quotes. Okay, that's another quote. I suppose a projection of the libido. Projection of the libido.
And what's the first psychological?
A state of pleasure without concern for the future, without the pain of concern for the future. That's what it means. Two definitions. One definition is, one psychological definition is the state of pleasure without the pain of concern for the future. You see? That's the child security. Right? And the second one is the projection of the pleasure into the future, without a basis. Without a basis. Two different things.
I can't you say that the baby security, some people call it baby security, is really protection by the parents, because they want that
support. Why do they have that
really? The reality of things. It's the adult, because the adult learned reality, right?
Yeah.
So once you learn the reality principle, so that's the baby security, right? And now once it controls reality, a certain amount of probability, then you can go back into the baby state.
They can have no concern.
Right. They can have no concern.
It's only a means, it's not a means for really knowing that, it's, that there's nothing, that it's knowing that it's secure, it's a means for having complete unconcern.
Correct, correct.
There is summary.
The question was, can the person be secure and insecure at the same time? Is security a state concerning the whole person, or security is a state concerning the
particular
thing?
Right.
That's a good question. What is it about it? Say, if we should say that security means that security does not necessarily mean total, right? It could be partial too, right? So then we must say that everybody has security.
Right.
Yeah. Well, no, why?
Not necessarily.
By definition, everybody has security. But now there's a certain amount of probabilities that exist in the future.
Right, right. Probability that you will not have pleasure. Insecurity, that's the opposite.
Very small probability that will.
Sorry, it's probability that you will have pleasure.
probability that you won't have pleasure.
From the whole population.
So that's insecurity. So both you. So everybody has insecurity and security at the same time. Just that the more secure person has more security than he has insecurity.
Right.
So in other words, there's no such thing as a secure person and an insecure person.
No, it's not a quantitative. It's a quantitative.
It's not quantitative. It's quantitative effect. Okay, insofar as he has the probability he's secure, and as far as he doesn't, he's insecure, right?
Right. Now, if the probability outweighs the probability, it's a probability. Right.
Yeah.
In other words, it's the square probability that
I've
their probability.
Yes, then.
We call the guy secure.
Then we call him secure.
Right.
Ah, so now you're saying... Oh. So another way is, therefore when we say that if a guy takes out an insurance policy, now he can be pretty sure that he can pay his bills, right? So he's not secure. Because
right.
How did you prove that the probability now outweighs the other probability?
Didn't psychologically though.
You didn't?
Okay.
No, you didn't prove that the probability
what?
Of having his pleasure is because if he's in that state, he loses pleasure, right? So therefore, the main thing is life is lost.
Right.
Right? So now you haven't really shown me. You haven't really changed it from the state of insecurity to the state of security.
So what?
It doesn't mean
it means probability of the future. It means a greater probability, increased probability.
But there's no qualitative differentiation in that.
That's right,
how about the difference between probable
and probable? Maybe a guy that has 95% security has 5% security.
Right.
But you say there's no such thing as probable and improbable.
Even a guy in learning does is not secure.
Right.
As far as
it's possible.
That last step's only again.
In other words, all we're saying is that there's no such thing as a person being secure or insecure.
Why?
Because everybody, because if you're going to say that.
Everybody's effective at 7 degrees.
Right, so 7 degrees. So if a person is secure, it's secure.
Would you say there's an objective category?
Oh, it is.
Right.
How could there be such a thing as improbable? I mean, the probability of this happening is very little.
Right.
That means it has probability, right?
It's
improbable. Give me a case for something that's improbable.
Having 20 heads in a row.
Let's say...
Would you have more probability than less probability? More probability of attaining your pleasure than less?
There's a very subjective
one. Well, what's the other possibility?
In other words, if there is security a state, the person is secure or is insecure?
Yeah.
Or the person is secure and insecure simultaneously?
I think it's a subjective thing.
You could argue no. You could say no. The security is a certain feeling that arises from the assumption that you have more probability of pleasure in the future.
If the guy is a rational guy, then he realizes that.
I mean, let's say a guy's two business.
Only one
he's secure about and one he's not secure. So you're going to say, since he's secure about the one, since he's more secure about one of them, therefore he's secure about the other?
Depends on the guy.
Is he secure in terms of life? That's a good question. I guess it is subjective because it depends on the guy.
Honestly,
the rational guy.
Realize that there's always insecurity.
Therefore, generally, he's the man that's subject to his mind being corrupted by emotions, right? Under normal areas, he can make mistakes.
Why can't you say the other type of security is definitely...